questions. First, why don't you tell us a little about MPAC, just because people in our listening area may not be familiar.
Sure. So MPAC stands for the Experimental Media and Performing Arts Center. We've been open for about 3 years now. We're on the campus of Rensselaer, RPI. Although prior to being open for 3 years, we had a number of years of programming while our building was being built, which happened in public spaces and all around campus. But we're a contemporary art and performing arts center. A lot of the work we do is rooted, as it says in our name, in experimental media, technology, or just experimental work. Really, half of what we do here is presentation, and the half of what we do is production. So we have a number of commissions and residencies always happening in the building at all times. And that's really one of the reasons why it makes so much sense for us to be on the campus of Rensselaer, which is a science and engineering school, a research university. So it can be said it's really contemporary research that's happening here on the production side. So then, as I said, that's what we do, is presentation. And we put on about 5 events a month throughout the school year. We're rooted in the academic calendar. And those events run the gamut from film, talks, dance, theater, music, visual arts, and everything in between. There are 3 curators here, a curator for dance and theater, a curator for music, and a curator for visual arts, which is me, time-based visual arts. Although those titles really say more to our ground than to particularly what you see happening. So much of what any of us do is transdisciplinary, so interdisciplinary, I mean, just the way the curator is today, really reflecting that. So you often see, for example, the Jip Panther show that's happening tomorrow night is something I'm doing, although I'm the visual arts curator. And it makes sense because these guys are also rooted in visual arts and working with visual artists. Show, but that really, that way of working is sort of reflecting with our experience lies as creators, also the contemporary art performance world is today.
Now, Japanther has had a residency there for a couple of weeks now, I guess, right?
Yeah, they've been here for 3 weeks. It's so they're part of the commissioning program. It's a new commission, and I started talking to Japan about doing a new piece here, I said, probably about a year ago at this point, I've been to work with them a long time. And they came up for a few visits, and we met a couple of times down in the city, they're from Brooklyn, to brainstorm and talk through what this project might be. And now they've been here for 3 weeks to make the project happen. And they're rehearsing right now and can hear my office shaking beneath my feet. So the show is going to rock, I believe.
Can you, Kathleen, can you describe what they're doing?
Yeah, I can. Why don't I tell you the story of sort of where I came from and how I first got interested in them in terms of working here on a commission, and then a little bit about what they're going to be doing here over the weekend. So a number of years ago, so, you know, Japanther is also a band, usually titled a punk rock band, but certainly don't want to just put them in that label. They're a bunch of punks in a band. They're also an art project. They, you know, come out of Pratt, come out of school, and always, you know, often are working with visual artists or between visual arts and music. But I knew of their music for a couple of years and sort of the rock show, punk rock show that they put on. And then a few years ago, I saw a performance of theirs. It was part of the Performa Festival in New York, and it was at PS122, and I was expecting the usual rock show and came in and saw a really great sort of set design first. The band, were inside of this steel 360-degree cage, and the audience was around them in a circle, and then there were bleachers on either side. And puppets were involved and video and their, you know, trademark yellow telephone that they sang into. And then the audience that was in the circle were on the screen, so was at certain points the piece became so dynamic that we were literally running around the cage. And the piece was incredibly thoughtful and theatrical, and the music was fantastic and visually was beautiful and just had this really wonderful positive energy. And the thought walking away from that of, oh my God, these guys got me to run around a circle in a cage, you know, like running with the bulls, was kind of fantastic that they were able to do that. And since that point, even in my bag got trampled that night. I've been really wanting to work with them on a piece. And this year, all the curators have been working together on a new series, which we called Quote Unquote. And that's a series of performances and installations, many of them new commissions, but not all, that where artists are using a text as a departure point for a work. And I particularly thought that Japantha might be suited for that grounding in their work. And so when I first spoke to Ian about it, he got really excited about it. He's also very interested in zine culture, but then really landed upon this Walt Whitman text called The Mystic Saxophonist, which ends with play on, at the last two words of the poem. And the evening begins with that. And without telling you too much detail about what's going to be happening here, you walk into a space that has three huge scaffold towers. And the towers of scaffold have platforms and are each filled with a drum set, you know, space for playing guitar, and also space for dancing. And each tower also has screen in front of it, or a curtain. The curtains are also sort of designed in keeping with the thematic show, which is looking at three ideas of, you know, contemporary culture and institutions, the museum, the prison, and housing. And throughout the course of the night, you'll see the video being projected. The performers will play in one tower. They'll run down Mario Brothers style, jump on another tower, play from that tower. The screens will be projected on. They'll fall. It's a really kind of the timing of the piece. You can sort of feel their strength and theatricality in the work. The music is wonderful. As I said, I'm bouncing around my office, buzzing from it right now under my feet. And it's going to be a really powerful show. I mean, it's really thoughtful in terms of content, and just really fun and playful at the same time.
There's something of a preview on your website.
Yeah, that's something we've been getting into lately because, you know, as I said in the beginning of this conversation, so much of what we do is this behind-the-scenes production of new work and residencies. But I think sometimes to our, we all think, you know, working on recently, that to our public, we often seem just like a presenting institution. And we're all so excited about the work that we do here and really probably find the most reward in giving opportunity for artists to make new work and to experiment and really take chances and sometimes fail. And so curatorially, we've been thinking about what are some ways that we can share this behind-the-scenes aspect of what we do with our audience. So this is one way that we've been doing that. We just started. You know, it's pretty easy to do, just to take a little flip cam and give it to the artists while they're rehearsing and putting up the scaffolds and just sort of brainstorming around about the show, which is what you can see on our Facebook page, the MPAC Facebook page. We have a number of songs in progress. It's all new music for the show. And you can see a little bit of the set design going up, although it's certainly expanded from what you can see on the Facebook page. And then, you know, we've also been doing a lot of thinking about doing many more live work and press showings to, again, give our audience a sense of the behind the scenes of what happened here. We had Len Lesterlin, our dance theater curator, has been working with the magnificent Ralph Lemon on a new piece. And he today, for example, in the afternoon, gave a little work in progress of the piece that he's working on here, which was pretty fantastic. So yeah, what we have of the behind the scenes of Japantha is just part of our trying to find ways to share the behind the scenes of the sort of fun, creative aspect of making new happen.
And Tom, we will be broadcasting this.
Yes, I'm playing a little, Kathleen, in the background. There's clips on from the MPAC website. You might hear slightly there.
It's mixing with the music that I can hear coming from here. It's great.
You've got quite the mix there, yes. So we're going to try to do a live broadcast tomorrow night, yes.
Yeah.
So that should start at about 8 p.m. The show is going to start, and go ahead, you can.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. At 8 p.m., you can buy tickets online, buy them at the box office. Seating is slightly limited, so I would suggest trying to pick them up ahead of time. There's also a second show on Saturday. Hope to see everybody there. And if you can't, please tune in to the live broadcast.
All right, and we think we're going to play some Japanther now to take us out so people can get an idea what they might be in for, although it sounds like it's going to be a special, unique experience.
It's going to be special, all right. It's going to be a good one.
Thank you very much, Kathleen.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care.